ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We are joined in the box by a man who I'm very pleased to say has made his way to the Ashes nearly entirely by land or sea. I have been messaging Tommy Lamb. This is an incredible story. I'll let you fill in the blanks. Tommy, welcome. Great to speak to you. How did you get to the Ashes down under?
Yeah, well, I went through 24 countries, got to Timor-Leste without a plane, and then took a 45-minute flight to Darwin and hitchhiked my way to Melbourne for the MCG test and Christmas Day with my family down under.
So the plan was always to get here entirely by land or sea, is that right? And
yeah.
Where did the idea come from?
Essentially, I always wanted to come to the Ashes, a gap year sort of thing, you know, finished school, always knew that I could go to the Ashes down under. And then my dad told a story of two people that did the same trip, what, 50 years ago or something like that. And when I heard the story, I just thought, well, that would be a brilliant way to, like, combine the two things, go to the Ashes without playing. I hadn't heard of someone else doing it. I think they had done a few years ago. But, yeah, it just came together brilliantly, and here I am.
So give me the cliff notes of the journey you've taken, like, roughly, geographically, how have you worked your way down to Australia?
To summarise, I went through basically ferry to the Hook of Holland from Essex, drove from Manchester, Essex, Hook of Holland, Netherlands, Germany, Austria, Slovenia, I should be better at this, Croatia, Montenegro, Albania, North Macedonia, Bulgaria, Turkey, Georgia, Armenia, Iran, Pakistan, China, Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, Indonesia, Timor-Leste, Australia. And there were a few little hiccups in there, motorbike accident in Vietnam and things like that. So, yeah.
What was the biggest hiccup?
I fractured my skull in Vietnam. That was
Yeah, that's so, a fair
see on my nose there, there's a little bit of a mark that looks like a sunburn, thankfully.
Oh, looks like Dizzy's nose.
Is there a day that goes by where you don't give me grief about the size of my nose?
Oh, sorry. What about my belly?
So what happened on the motorbike, and how did you go getting medical treatment in Vietnam?
I don't remember. I was given a description by the lady through Google Translate, I believe, some lady in Vietnam, and she said I was going straight on an empty road, and I was on Cat Ba Island, you know, just a little island off the east coast, and I was going straight on an empty road, and then I turned left. There was no left turn. I hit a pole, and my bike hit a roof, and that was the end of the message, and I never got any more information about it. So I am still very dumbfounded about what actually happened.
Oh, wow.
But the people were incredible. I don't remember the actual crash. All I remember was waking up in the ambulance, and clearly somebody plonked me in an ambulance. I've got a photo of myself getting stitched up on the side of the road. Don't remember it. Don't know how I took that photo, but people were incredible.
On this, Tommy, what? You obviously went through so many countries. Mm. Was there one that surprised you, like how nice it was or how different it was from what you thought? You went through a lot of countries, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, so like the inspiration behind this trip was sort of proving a lot of my preconceptions about the world true, because my preconceptions were that there's brilliant people everywhere, and actually the less tourists there are, the better the people are. And I definitely found that. Pakistan and Iran, they were two of my favourite places to go.
Wow.
Incredible people, especially Pakistan, like incredible hospitality. Like I've never experienced it in my life. And no, I absolutely loved it. That's why I did this trip, was to meet people like that.
How'd you go with the language barriers in each country? Like, you Google Translate?
Google Translate's incredibly helpful, as you can imagine. The only time where like there was no English was Western China. You're going through Western China, even Eastern China, very little, but the parts of China I was going through at the start, my goodness. Like you'd normally get like a hello and a thank you sort of thing from the local, not a chance, just absolutely no clue.
How long were you on the road for? How long did it take you to leave Essex? Is that where you left from?
Well, I mean, Manchester, technically.
Oh, Manchester.
Yeah, I left my house like at 5 a.m., you know, literally left my house, drove up to Essex.
So leaving Manchester to arriving, at the SCG? You were hoping to make it to the MCG.
And I made it to the MCG, yeah. So
you
I arrived.
You missed the game, though, didn't you?
No, I didn't. I arrived in time before Christmas Day. I arrived, I think, 22nd or 23rd at night.
You were hoping to make Adelaide.
Kind of, but I was expecting to be late. So I always said I was aiming for Adelaide, but I knew I might be late, and I was late. So I ended up making it to the MCG. But it was 125 days.
So what I'm hearing as well is that if you'd been quicker and made it here for the start of the series,
we'd be 4-0 up.
England would be 4-0 up, because every test you've been here for, they've won.
I know. We're not doing half badly at the minute either, to be fair. So, that's what I keep telling everyone is, I'm going to have to do it again in 4 years' time with a different route and actually make sure I do it without a plane, and I'll get here for Perth and we'll win 5-0.
You're a very smart man. Can I ask what you study?
I'm 18, so I don't study anything
yet. What are you going to study?
I don't want to study.
I take that back. What I said before.
Sound like my son.
I meant to do philosophy and politics at uni, at Uni of Leeds, but I'm not a fan of it. If my mum was listening, which I don't think she is.
She will be.
She's on a beach somewhere in Sydney, I think, at the minute. Earphones out.
And do you know how much it costs you for those 125 days? You have a rough.
So I always exclude Iran, because Iran came out of the savings account. It was actually extortionately expensive as a whole. But it cost about £4,500. So about 9,000 US Australia dollars.
Not bad.
So a couple of quick ones. I'm very risk averse. I'm not much of a risk taker.
You hate germs. He'd be no good. Germaphobe. He's terrible.
Bring hand sanitizer. Yeah, that's my advice.
Carry it around.
He needs a bucket of it.
What did your parents say? I mean, 18's pretty young to be going through absolutely. All of these countries to try and make it to the Ashes like this.
Yeah. My dad's quite well travelled himself. I'm half Russian, so he's lived in all sorts of parts of the world and everything like that. So he was a bit more keen on the whole idea. A bit more of a fan. My mum definitely took some convincing, especially when I told her Iran, Pakistan, Balochistan were all on the cards. But I had a very genius idea that I never told them anything bad that happened until after I was okay. And so it just sort of worked out okay. And as I say, I'm incredibly grateful that, you know, I had parents who, they knew that this is something I wanted to do. They knew that they couldn't really stop me from doing it. And so, yeah, I was just very grateful they let me go and do it.
And what was the weirdest mode of transport you had throughout the trip?
It's not too strange, but I had a lot of, like, you know, those trucks where you're just on the back. Oh, actually, there was one where there was cow poop all over the floor, and we had to stand up, and it was like hitchhiking through Laos, and, you know, it was a bit horrible, but we put these plastic bags down so that you could have a seat, and it's only an hour long or so, but yeah, no, that's pretty rough.
Worst food?
Oh, I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. Dog.
Oh. Let's move along from that. Did your cricket bat make it all the way?
It has, yeah. The Schlesinger bat still in the bag. It still goes strong. I had two corkies with me, two cricket balls with me.
Yep.
Now I'm down to one cricket ball, but that survived the whole time as well.
So you'd play cricket with people along the way?
Oh, every country. Yep. Every country I spent a night in, I played with at least one person, often more.
Did you travel or with anyone? Or did anyone end up traveling with you?
Certain legs, like when I was hitchhiking through Laos, I met these two proper hippies. Like, it was incredible. You never meet people like that anymore, but they were barefoot, you know, proper, really impressive. And they were great fun as well.
What were their names? Dizzy and Buffy?
I actually don't remember. Couldn't even tell you. And then there was these two German guys who were doing like a race across the world. They were like celebrities. So I hope you don't have any German listeners listening, because I'm not meant to tell anyone about that. But they were doing like from Indonesia to Vietnam without any money. Met them, hitchhiked across Laos together. So we spent like 48 hours together. That was great fun. And I think other than that, I've never really met anyone that was traveling with me. I'd normally just get sick of people. So you just, I kind of want to be by myself. Quite like my own company quite often.
So did you ever feel unsafe at all?
Australia. Northern Australia. That was the first time where I actually told myself, yeah, I'm terrified.
What, Darwin?
Darwin. I'd hitchhiked out of Darwin, got myself to Katherine, and I was 15 kilometres out of Katherine, and I'm terrified of animals. I kept getting told that, you know, there's loads of snakes around. Saw like two dead snakes on the ground. Got told by a policewoman there was a man with a machete around a couple of days ago. Right, that's fine, lovely. There was a tropical storm coming in. It was getting pitch black. I was 15 kilometres away, had all my stuff with me, had my sliders on, and I had to just start running. I ran for like 20 minutes or so in the rain, and then thankfully a lovely Aboriginal man picked me up and took me. But those 15, 20 minutes, I was thinking I might be running for 2 hours and chucking down rain with all my stuff. Who knows what would happen to
it. Did you spend a night in a cave?
Yeah, in Iran. That was brilliant. It was a great night. One of my favourite nights. Had a great night at hospitality, night in a cave. There's a part of that story I can't mention as well.
Okay. Well, Tommy Lamb, it's an incredible story. Instagram handle, Cheese Naan on Tour.
What is that again?
Cheese Naan on Tour.
How good's that?
You'd like cheese naan.
It's the best Indian food, isn't it? It's the best.
Tommy, it's a great story. I think 4 years, you are compelled to do it again.
I agree.
Absolutely.
No,
I'll tell you what, if he does it in 4 years, I'll do a leg with him.
Yeah?
Okay. Whoa.
Okay.
I'll go a leg with you.
Doing it for you.
Yeah.
What leg are you going to do? What?
It won't be Pakistan or Iran.
Maybe...
I think I'm going to be
Indonesia
going north.
Indonesia to Darwin or something of the like.
No, I've never been
to
Germany.
Have you got any mates who are in a boat by any chance?
Used to. Then I got sacked from the coaching job.
Tommy, thanks for coming on and joining us. Congratulations on making it. It was a great concept and well executed.
Yeah, well done, mate.
For having me.
Great work. Awesome.
Your parents will be extremely proud of you. They should be. Well done, mate.
Well done, buddy.
There is Tommy Lamb, arguably one of the most incredible stories of this Ashes campaign. over 100-day journey, aiming entirely to make it by land or by sea. It was only one small 45-minute plane flight at the very end that saw him make it all the way to Australia